Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. You may remember, as it comes up every year on this Sunday of the church year, that there is a long-standing debate among preachers as to whether John was asking the question, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" for his own sake, or for the sake of his disciples. That is, whether he, John, was beginning to doubt or at least wonder about the messiahship of Jesus, or his disciples needed a little prodding, some encouragement to leave him and follow after Jesus the Christ. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't think anyone really does, and I don't think that we will ever know, at least here on earth. What I can say is that whether it was John or his disciples or both who were wondering about Jesus' divine identity, they at least had some earthly reason to do so. For Jesus hadn't come in the way that one would expect a Messiah to come. There was no day burning like an oven when all arrogant and evildoers were turned to ashes. There were no worthless trees being cut down and thrown into the fire. There was no burning of chaff with unquenchable fire. Instead, there was Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Son of Mary, Jesus the humble, the lowly, the servant, the traveling prophet and miracle worker, who went about doing good, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease and every affliction among the people. There was Jesus, who came eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners, who had no place to lay his head. John the Baptist, the new Elijah, foretold by the prophet Malachi, was the messenger sent to prepare the way of the Lord. He had fulfilled that purpose. He had fulfilled it before Jesus, the Lord who came. Jesus is indeed the long-awaited Messiah, even if he did not fit the expectations of the people to whom he came, which possibly included John and his disciples. And it's for this reason that Jesus said, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." A blessing not just for those who heard and saw him in his day, but this is a blessing for you today. Blessed are you who are not offended by Jesus, who are not offended by the truth that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed is the one who is not offended that the glory of God is hidden under the form of a servant. During his earthly ministry, many were indeed offended that this lowly, humble man from Galilee should be the Son of God. Many wondered if anything good could come from Nazareth in the first place. And the chief priests and Pharisees were sure that no prophet could possibly arise from Galilee. Even those from his hometown, Nazareth, took offense at him, not least of which because they knew he was a carpenter, the son of a carpenter. They knew his mother and his brothers and sisters. Nevertheless, this Jesus proved that he was who he claimed to be, the very Son of God in human flesh, proving it in word and in deed. He performed many miracles by his own power and authority. He dared to work on the Sabbath and call God his own Father. He forgave sins with God's own authority. He cleansed the temple, the house of God. He taught the crowds with the authority of God, not like their scribes. Not much has changed over the centuries. Still today, many are offended at the thought that this man, born in Bethlehem of Judea, raised in Nazareth of Galilee, should be anything more than a good teacher, a prophet, a man, certainly not the Son of God. Many today are willing to hail Jesus as the highest example of a humble, loving, merciful man. See how many are more than happy to celebrate his birth this time of year as a momentous event in human history. But to confess Jesus of Nazareth to be God, the only Savior, That is an offense. How dare anyone claim that Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to God the Father except through him? How dare anyone confess that there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved than Jesus? How dare anyone believe that this man, crucified in shame and weakness, is the Almighty and everlasting God? But Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is far more than a good man or a prophet. As we heard in the first week of Advent, he is the true King of Israel, the King of the universe. He is the righteous branch raised up for David. He is the Lord, our righteousness, who on the last day is coming with a cloud, with power and great glory to be our redemption. He alone is the way to heaven. He alone is the Savior from sin and death. He alone has borne the sins of the world. Is it a scandal to believe that this man, Jesus, is God? Here again the works of grace that he has done, the very works to which he pointed John's disciples. The blind received their sight. The lame walked. Lepers were cleansed and the deaf heard. The dead were raised up. And the poor had good news preached to them. All these works were prophesied to be the works of the Messiah by Isaiah the prophet. And all these works Jesus did, again by his own power and authority, to prove his rightful claim that he was and is and ever shall be the eternal Son of God. And when his hour had come, Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah from chapter 53 in his book. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Jesus Christ came. He has fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament, including the very prophecy that we heard in our Old Testament lesson today, also from Isaiah. The glory of the Lord, that is, the glory of Yahweh, shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. In that flesh and blood man from Nazareth in Galilee, the glory of Yahweh was revealed for all flesh to see. The glory of Yahweh is concealed in the form of a servant. Blessed is the one who is not offended by Jesus. Blessed also is the one who is not offended that the mighty works of Jesus, the Son of God, have been performed through his word. For those who acknowledge that Jesus Christ is truly Lord and God, that the miracles recorded in the gospel actually happened, there is still reason for offense. Namely, where are the miracles today? Where are the mighty works of God now? But in the first place, we must remember that even with the many miracles that have been performed by Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry and throughout the Old Testament besides, overall, these miracles were relatively few and far between in the overall scope of human history. But God has always and everywhere come to his people and worked great things through his word. The word that is preached by those whom he has sent. Those men whom God has sent to preach his word are generally not all that impressive or attractive in and of themselves. Just consider the one whom Jesus called the greatest among those born of women, John the Baptist. He came preaching in the wilderness, wearing a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. Even at that time, his manner of dress and diet was notable. John was bold in his preaching to everyone, both to the greatest and to the least, from the crowds, to the soldiers, to the religious leaders, even to King Herod himself. John was certainly no reed shaken by the wind. He was no man dressed in soft clothing. He was a prophet. As Jesus says, more than a prophet. The messenger sent before the Lord to prepare his way. And what was his earthly reward as a prophet? We heard it. Imprisonment. And soon thereafter, martyrdom. Today, Christ's ministers come in weakness. They are mortal, sinful men preaching to fellow mortal sinners. They often suffer for their testimony. But what do the Scriptures, the very Word of God himself, say? Pastors are to be regarded as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God, provided that they meet God's requirement to be faithful. Sure, there's more than enough earthly reason to be offended at the office of preaching. Mere men daring to rebuke sin, to declare one to be forgiven, to speak with authority as to what is right and what is wrong, what is true and what is false. But like Paul says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, we should not be judged by any man, not even by ourselves. For what gives a man the authority to preach hard words of rebuke against sin? God does. And what gives them the authority to bestow God's greatest treasure, the good news of life, that Christ Jesus came to save sinners? God does as well. And that's why it's required of God's stewards, his ministers, that they be found faithful. For when they faithfully preach the word of God and administer the sacraments according to Christ's own command and institution, then God vows to do great and mighty works through his word and sacraments. The spiritually blind receive sight to see Jesus as the atoning sacrifice for their sins. The spiritually lame receive the Holy Spirit to walk in newness of life. Spiritual lepers are cleansed from all their transgressions and iniquities. The spiritually deaf hear those blessed words for you and cling to them by faith. The spiritually dead are raised up to life everlasting in soul and body with Christ who is risen indeed. The spiritually poor have good news, the good news of Jesus Christ crucified, preached to them. These are the mighty works of God, the mighty works that he wills to do for his people throughout the ages, the mighty works that Isaiah spoke of, comfort spoken to the heart, assurance that iniquities have been pardoned, that from the Lord's hand double mercy has been given out for sins. But this good news is not only for ministers to preach. Every Christian can and should share this good news with those people whom God has placed in their lives, with family, friends, neighbors. And so Jesus sent John's disciples to declare this good news back to John while he was in prison. Just like on that first Easter morning, the women were sent to tell the disciples the good news that Jesus Christ was risen indeed. What greater blessing can we as Christians share with those we know and love than the blessing of God's word, the good news of Jesus Christ who has come to be the Savior of all? We know that everything else in this earthly life will cease, all the possessions and pleasures that are given and received, for example at this time of year, will wither and fade like the grass and flowers of the field. But the word of our God will stand forever. The word which you have heard, the word which you are given to share, the word through which Jesus, the Son of God, performs his many mighty works. Blessed is the one who is not offended by him. And finally, blessed is the one who is not offended that the Lord's deliverance from all suffering will be fulfilled in his time, not in ours. Our gospel lesson began with John languishing in prison. Again, whether that caused him to doubt or not, I don't know. It very well could have, for he was a man with a nature like ours. Or it might not have. He was the great prophet. He may have remained steadfast in faith to the very end. Perhaps it was his disciples who were looking to Jesus as the Christ to deliver their master and wondering why he hadn't yet. In any case, Jesus would rescue John. He would deliver him from Herod's prison, but not in some earthly way. John was delivered not by loosing his shackles, Rather, Christ would deliver John from Herod's prison through death. He would be beheaded at the hand of his soldiers, Herod's soldiers. But in that moment, John was graciously taken from this valley of sorrow to God his Father in heaven. There was in that moment deliverance for John from sorrow and suffering to everlasting peace and joy and life. But it came only through death in the grave. How could it be otherwise? The disciple is not greater than his master, and the Lord and master of all, Jesus Christ, first had to suffer and die before being gloriously exalted in his resurrection. And so he did. The Son of God, the man Jesus Christ, suffered the false accusations of the chief priests and Pharisees and scribes. He was sentenced to death by the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. He was beaten and mocked, nailed to the cross, bled and died. But in this he accomplished your salvation and the salvation of the whole world, delivering you from sin and death and the power of the devil. Now he is risen from the grave. He lives and reigns to all eternity. And all who believe in him shall share in a resurrection like his. But as he himself testified, it was necessary for him first to suffer and then to be raised. So it is for you, Christ's disciples. Whatever binds you, whatever shackles you bear, whether they be of body or of soul, the Lord has promised to deliver you from them all. But it will be in his good time, not in yours. It may not be in this life. It will certainly be in eternity. It may very well be necessary that you first suffer, even die, before receiving your rest and peace. You, dear Christians, are called to be patient, to wait for the Lord in faith. Let no sorrow, suffering, or tribulation separate you from Jesus Christ, your Lord. For he loves you. He has promised that your warfare will reach its completion. God has vowed and he will not change his mind. Yes, be and remain faithful. For just as it was for John, it shall be for you. Heaven will be your reward when you leave this valley of sorrow. The Lord will deliver you from your sufferings, but in his time, not ours. Blessed is the one who is not offended by him. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we await for another? No. Jesus is the one to come. Blessed is the one who is not offended by him, that he is Lord, that he works through his word, that his salvation will be accomplished in his good time. Blessed was John, who heard that gospel as his disciples brought it back to him, and he remained faithful unto death and has now received the crown of life. Blessed were those disciples of John who heard what Jesus testified, who listened to their master John's cry and followed the one to whom he pointed. Blessed are you, dear Christians, for you have heard the word of God and believe in Jesus. Therefore, on this third Sunday in Advent, you who are blessed of the Lord, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Rejoice, your King is coming. Rejoice, your redemption is drawing near. Rejoice, the Lord Yahweh comes with might, his reward with him. Rejoice, for Jesus Christ is your Lord and your God, and he has come. In his name, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.